Good evening. Tonight is Monday, April 7th, and you're listening to the Kinky Crafter Podcast. Tonight I'm going to be talking about a flogger project. This is going to be the first craft project that I'm putting up. I figured it'd be a good basic fundamental type exercise for people to get a little practice just using tools and familiarizing themselves with general concepts and techniques. If you don't have any craft experience before, if you do have some experience before, hopefully some of the methods and techniques that I'm using might be interesting to you. For this project, I decided to use some kangaroo hide that I had available. I wouldn't probably recommend using kangaroo hide for a first-timer or if you're not really comfortable working with the material. It tends to be fairly stretchy in certain spots, and that varies a lot depending on how close to the edge of the hide you are, so I wouldn't recommend it for starting out. What I would recommend, though, is something that's normally referred to as economy suede. You can get it at any Tandy leather shop or from numerous vendors online. Usually you can, it's not unusual to find it on sale for less than $2 a square foot. So you have very little initial cost investment for the materials. So it's good for practicing on. As you can see, the first step that you're going to need to do is figure out the amount of material that you're going to need. For the method of construction that I used, needed a rectangle that is twice the length of the falls that I want to make, and the width would be 1/2 inch times the number of falls. Basically, what I did was I marked out a bottom line. Basically I eyeballed the largest rectangle I could get out of the piece because I wanted to maximize the size of the flogger that I was making out of it. I set a bottom line with a piece of yellow masonry line, then cut a similar length piece of masonry line and set it approximately parallel to the first one at the top of the hide. And then I cut a diagonal piece from, so that I could measure the distance between opposite corners. And, that your rectangle is, rectangular if the two diagonals are of equal length, so you can kind of adjust it. And then once I had the basic measurements in, I took a Sharpie and just made a quick little dot at the corners. It's good to have a reference point. And after that, I placed the rubber mat underneath the hide and used the rotary cutter to cut off the bottom edge. I then went up and did the same thing for the top edge. When I was cutting it, essentially I lined up the masonry line between the two points and used the steel ruler as a guide and cut alongside of the steel ruler. This makes for fairly even and consistent lines, and the steel ruler serves to hold down the material that's being cut in place, which keeps it from slipping around as much. Basically, you end up getting cleaner cuts that are more consistent. After I finished that, I went on to cut the two sides, which is a little trickier just because they were longer runs. They were longer than would fit under than the rubber mat would cover, so I had to reposition that a couple times. But the finished product of that particular phase was the rectangle that you can see on the website. I then folded the rectangle in half, I suppose that'd be called lengthwise, and then cut it into 1.5-inch wide strips. After I finished cutting the 1.5-inch wide strips, I straightened them out and cut two small holes evenly spaced from the center crease of the strip for mounting purposes. After I did that with all of them, I took about 1-inch wide piece of material that was left over from when I cut the last strip off, and I cut several holes in it. Basically, I folded it back and forth until it was the right length that I wanted, and then made corresponding holes in it so that it would so that the holes would match up with the holes in the straps, and I could use it as a finger loop for swinging the flogger. Now, the main reason I went with the finger loop design is because I kind of prefer that in general. A somewhat simpler design would have been to just cut the pieces all in one direction, and leaving a significant amount of material at the bottom uncut, and then rolling that around the handle. You can find plenty of general outlines and designs like that on the internet. Usually they'll use either glue or sometimes metal tacks or a combination of both to secure the leather to the handle, and that's perfectly functional. I think that unless you're planning on basically putting the time and effort into cleaning up the handle and making it look a little more decorative, I think it looks nicer to just leave a fairly plain bottom section, and I prefer the finger loop type handles in general because it allows me to basically to maintain, I think, a little bit more control over the path of the flogger. And also it saves me from torquing my wrist back and forth as much, which I find a lot more comfortable. One of the other alternatives is a handle with a round ball that can, that you can fit between your second and third finger and, allow it to pivot there. You get a similar result, but basically in my experience, it has a tendency to kind of, wear on your fingers a little bit. So I like the finger loop floggers in general. You'll see one of the pictures I have up on the website of the floggers that I currently own is a set of finger loop floggers with, metal attachments. Those are a little nicer than the one I'm making today, obviously. But, there's something to be said for being able to throw something together quick and having it, simple and functional. So anyway, after I had all the straps cut and the finger loop straps cut and had the appropriate holes cut in them, I lined up all the straps, put the finger loops over them, and then threaded a piece of the yellow masonry line that I had laying around through all the holes, and then I tied around the outside to secure everything together and make sure it was all nice and tight. Now the upside of a simple binding like that is that if there are any kind of problems with it, it's very easy to take apart. It's easy to adjust. It's easy to retie if things start to loosen. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing with the neon yellow line, but I think it's fairly functional and it looks good enough to serve my purposes right now. So that was kind of the main point. Now once you have everything tied together, essentially you have a functional product. And then it's just a matter of how much finishing you want to do. You can go back and smooth off the edges of your falls. You can also round off the tips if you want to make a fall with a softer impact. You can cut the tips to points if you want a sharper impact, basically sharper and stingier. There are plenty of other things that you could do to make it a little more aesthetically pleasing. You could take a bit of leftover material and wrap it around the base to cover up some of the rough binding. That would improve the visual aspect of it a lot. One of the other things that I would probably recommend is going back and hanging it, making sure all the falls are hanging down evenly and aren't tangled, and going through and cutting all the falls to an even length. You don't want to have a couple longer than other ones because it basically throws off how your falls impact when you're swinging the flogger. You want everything to be even and consistent and nice and controllable. So that's basically it for the construction of the flogger. One of the other main things to point out, I think, is the materials that you do choose to use. Floggers are one of the things where there's probably one of the widest variety of materials in common usage out of BDSM toys, just because there's so many different choices and so many different sensations and effects that you can get from the different choices. The light brown, quickly thrown together flogger that I have pictured is one that I put together in a couple minutes with a pair of scissors and some very light goat skin that I had laying around, which is one of the things that I really enjoy about being someone who is both willing and capable of making my own toys, is that when you want to have a flogger around, well, if you don't have one but you do have a scrap of leather, you can make do. Anyway, I put together that flogger at some point, and it has actually served me fairly well over the years as a fairly light, kind of a warm-up flogger with a little bit of with a little bit more speed. You can get a little bit of sting out of it, but it's fairly light without being too fluffy. Some of the really light ones, like deer elk skin, pig skin, I believe is one of the lightest ones that you'll be able to find, and that. Well, in my opinion, there's not a whole lot of purpose to the pigskin just because it's so light that there's almost no, there's not a lot of sensation out of it, quite frankly. With something like a deerskin flogger, it tends to be very popular as a warm-up flogger. It has a fairly light impact, but you can get more sensation out of it. You can get more thud by adding more falls onto it. Obviously, the more leather you're swinging, the more of an impact you're going to cause. You can get more sting out of it by swinging it faster and adjusting how you strike and the angle that you impact in and how much of the tips are impacting the skin. You can go from there up to some of the more medium weight things. Suede is a fairly lighter material, but it's very textured. So while the material itself isn't that heavy, depending on how it lands, the texture can actually provide a fair amount of sensation because it tends to be kind of grabby when it impacts on the skin. From there, you can go up to a fairly wide variety of heavier materials, anywhere from things like thicker leather hide with a smoother finish. One of my favorites, personally, and one that I have pictured on the website, is a moose skin flogger. It tends to be fairly heavy, fairly thick hide, but not as spongy as some of the softer ones, like buffalo, I believe, tends to be very thuddy because it's very heavy, but spongy, so it's not going to give a sharp impact. The kangaroo hide that I used for this project tends to be a little stingier because it's a very, it's fairly flexible, but it's a very dense and lightweight material. So there's a wide variety of materials that you can use. Basically, you're only limited by what you can order off the internet, quite frankly. Some of the earlier things that I've put together, I just used from materials that I could pick up at the local Tandy leather store, cheap pieces of suede, things like that. They have a little bit of variety, but if you want anything more exotic or interesting, or basically you're going to have to go online and start looking around. But the wonders of the internet, there are a lot of suppliers out there that can get you what you need. So I'm not going to get a whole lot into specifics about the technique. I think there are probably more knowledgeable people who could talk about that, and it's kind of not really where I'm planning on going with the show. I might discuss it a little bit, but the one thing I do want to comment on is that while you can get a very wide variety of sensations out of different materials, you might be surprised at the variety of sensation that you can get out of the same flogger, just varying your technique and being a little more careful about it. You can do things like pull back half of the tails if you're using a heavier flogger for a fairly, so that you have a lighter effect. You can do more of a whipping motion at the very end to speed up the tails to get a more stinging impact. You can do things like more of a punching motion with the flogger, or twisting the tails before you swing it so that it impacts in a fairly concentrated manner to get a lot more thud out of it. And the main point here is just that the materials themselves only make up a part of the experience. What you get out of it really does have a lot to do with your technique. I mean, you can have the biggest, fanciest set of floggers in the club and not know how to use them right and not accomplish much. Or you can have pile of three or four homemade floggers that aren't going to impress anyone. But if you know how to use them, you can really maximize the effect. I think that's probably going to be it for tonight's show. Tomorrow night, I'm going to try to put a show up about a bit more of an introduction to the podcast, kind of let the listeners out there know what it is that the podcast is going to be about, as well as talking a little bit about myself, kind of where I'm coming from, my perspective on things, areas of interest, that sort of thing. So I think with that, I'll call it a night. Now, if you'd like to reach me, I can be contacted at Evan, E-V-A-N, at kinkycrafter.com. And I look forward to hearing any feedback or comments, thoughts, suggestions. And I hope you all have a good night.